Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boom.
It's not your first message if something techie doesn't go wrong.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm not going to deep that Jonathan implied that I'm going to mess up, so, you know, it's fine. Awesome. Good to see you guys. I hope you're all well. And if you're not well, then I pray that you become well by the end of the preach. So today, I'm going to be going into the book of Ephesians. And if you're wondering why I have a hammer, it's so if you're not paying attention, then you'll see it coming a lot quicker, okay? No, I'm kidding. No. But yeah, so we're going to be talking about Ephesians today. And I think God today wants to encourage you guys and help set you up to be equipped for the coming season. Because obviously the church, there's a lot of change going on in the church. We're hoping to plant some churches, grow in home groups or life groups or whatever, grow in community. So God wants us to be equipped for that, fully ready to do what he wants us to do, yeah? And we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. So if you have your Bibles, which I really hope you do, because we are Christians and we like our Bibles. So if you get those out, yeah. So the book of Ephesians is a book meant to be applied universally. It's not just for the town of Ephesus that it was originally written for. It's a book that's meant for all churches, universally applied. So whenever we read Ephesians, we know that we can take that and apply it to our modern day, because the word is living and breathing and alive. So the first part of Ephesians... Oh, wait, hold on. I'm skipping ahead of my notes here. That's not good. Okay, yeah. So we're going into the book of Ephesians. And we know that the Bible is a narrative, right? It tells stories that are meant to be experienced. So I'm going to start off with a story, okay? Try not to fall asleep. So once upon a time, there was a young man who went out on a quest. His father told him to go out on a quest. And this quest was going to decide the fate of the world. So the man was sent out with his mighty tool. This man was a carpenter. He knew how to make things that his father taught him. And so as he went on this quest, he built an armor, the most indestructible armor that had ever been created in human history, an armor that went beyond physical material. And as he went on fighting monsters and meeting people along the way who decided to come with him on his journey, he knew where it would go in the end. And he ended up finding the seven-headed dragon or whatever at the end of the quest and killing him with the armor that his father taught him to make. And so then, a couple days later, he came back from the grave and went back to his father with the dragon's head in his hand, holding it high, saying, "I've just saved the world." Boom, mic drop. And so then, with the armor that he had made, he decided to teach the people that decided to follow him how to wear this armor and how to use it and all the powers and properties that it possessed. And this man was clearly Jesus Christ, the carpenter, that our King, our Lord, who has given us the armor of God. So, back to Ephesians, the word of God. The first part of Ephesians is basically what Jesus has done for us. Okay, Jesus is amazing. He's made everything okay. We are alive in Christ, and we have unity. No Jew or Gentile is exempt from Christ. And then the second part of Ephesians is, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do now that Jesus has saved us and delivered us and made us all united in Christ? And then that takes us to chapter 6, the last chapter in the book of Ephesians. And after we know that Christ has saved us and we know what to do about it, there's one final step, one final little nudge, and that is the armor of God. So initially, what this chapter 6 tells us, I'll read it in a sec, but what it initially tells us, what's implied by the armor of God, is that we are meant to be warriors. That's what's implied, that we are warriors. We're not warriors that kind of just bake cookies and chat and chill out or like go and play Xbox all evening, which me and Chris would like to do. But he plays PS4, so he's a loser. But no, warriors are meant to fight. Warriors are meant to defend and protect and move forward with the person leading them. So that's what's implied when we hear armor of God. What's also implied is that the armor is God's. It's his armor. It's not our armor that we make, that we build. It's the armor that's given. It's the armor of God, his armor, that we get the privilege of wearing. And so we're going to go straight to verses 10 and 13. On that note, going in, we know what we're going into. So, read along with me. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord, and in his mighty power put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. You may be able to stand your ground. So that's what I'm hoping we find ourselves in after today's service, that we are able to stand our ground. We know that God is good. We know that he protects us every day. We could sing about his goodness. And then what are we actually going to do about it? How are we going to actually apply his goodness in our lives? So also, this tells us that a day of evil will come. And for a lot of us, that day might be today, wherever you're at. But we know that a day of evil is supposed to come in our lives. So we need the armor of God. We need to be equipped. And so we'll come back to this in a second. But we'll carry on. Verse 14 to 17. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That sounds awesome, man. I might draw that someday, actually. That's a really cool idea. So yeah, we're going to break this down, right? We're going to see what these mean, okay? Because it just kind of sounds really floaty right now. So we're going to try and nail it on what it means. So the belt of truth is the center. That's the first one that's mentioned. And I don't think it's a coincidence that these were mentioned in this order. The belt of truth is at our center, equally weighed from the top to bottom. The belt of truth is at our center. It's the first thing that goes on. And that is the thing that holds the rest of the armor together, is the belt of truth. And the truth is our identity, our value in Jesus. You are a child of God. You are a son and a daughter. The first thing you need to know before you equip yourself with the armor of God is, I'm his. Yeah. I'm his soldier. I'm his child. And that is so important that Jesus first, it's kind of like Jesus comes and gives you a hug and then puts the belt on at the same time. And he's like, boom, you're mine. And then next, after the belt of truth, we know who we are in Christ, is the breastplate of righteousness put on very sternly and kind of like, whoa, okay, I'm here now, cool. But the breastplate of righteousness is significantly made and established by Jesus. That's important to remember with the breastplate of righteousness, because it goes on, but it doesn't really feel like it's there because it's actually established and made by Christ. The carpenter lived the perfect life. And as he went through his life, he was building the breastplate of righteousness, knowing that we would get to wear it. So he lived the perfect life, crafting the righteousness breastplate, and then died on the cross and swapped our sin for his righteousness. And then he turns to you, and he doesn't necessarily hit you with a hammer, but he's building the breastplate of righteousness onto you as well. He says, it's okay, wear it. Don't worry about it. But it's not pride, the breastplate of righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. And that's something you need to remember. It's not something that's shiny or gold. It's not a nice-looking breastplate. It's quite basic, but it's indestructible, and it can't be moved. Nothing can get through it. And it guards your heart, the breastplate of righteousness. Whenever guilt and shame tries to pierce your heart and the past of your life, or maybe something you've done very recently tries to pierce your heart, the breastplate of righteousness is meant to cover that and say, no, I am declared righteous by the Most High God. The King has pardoned me, and I am declared righteous. No shame can pierce my heart because of Jesus. And then my favorite piece of armor, not that they're not equal, but the boots of the gospel of peace. Our foundation, the first thing that you do when you step forward is the gospel. That's the first step. It's our foundation. It's what holds us strong. It's how we can't be shaken after we put on those boots. It's like the wise man builds his house on the rock and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. But in this case, the wise man puts on trainers and doesn't walk out in barefoot, right? The wise man knows that shoes will keep his feet stable, that he can walk properly when he's wearing these boots. And I found it interesting how it's gospel and peace, that it's not just gospel and it's not just peace. Why don't we get like the shin guards of peace and the gloves of the gospel or whatever? But it was the boots of the gospel of peace, because one can't come without the other. You can't see the gospel and not feel at peace, and you can't be at peace without the gospel. These things go hand in hand. So whenever we look back on the cross like communion today, we feel at peace because Christ has died. He came down to earth and he sacrificed himself with his flesh and spilled blood that set us free. So we walk with the boots of the gospel, our foundation. They are both comfy slippers. Ah, yeah, I don't have to worry about anything. I can just walk around in my comfy slippers. But they're also steel-toe caps, so you can walk around and protect you. They are your foundation. They can't be moved. The gospel, boom, steel-toe caps. And they don't give you blisters, no, because they're still comfy slippers. It's like, yeah, I don't have to worry about a thing because Christ is on my side. So we put on the gospel as our foundation. We can't fall without it. We can't be knocked when we wear these boots. When we know what the gospel is, and we rest on that, we walk around absolutely at peace. And then next, the shield of faith. I always picture like Captain America's shield whenever I think of the shield of faith, because my mum basically got me a Captain America shield that says the shield of faith on it, and that's just the coolest gift ever. But the shield of faith is not like a normal shield that you would expect. It's actually a huge shield that covers your entire body. It's almost like when you look at a picture of the shield, you can just see the shield and then the person behind it, because it's covering your entire body. It's the most indestructible shield in human history, the shield of faith. And in Christ, we all have access to the shield. As it says, it stops flaming arrows from the evil one. Now, that can look like many things. Flaming arrows are pretty terrifying in itself. I pray that he doesn't shoot flaming arrows at me, literally, but I know that I've got the shield of faith. Nothing can get past it. It covers your entire body. So when you have the full armor of God equipped, that's great. But the shield of faith blocks that off anyway. The armor of God is something for internal battles. But the shield of faith blocks everything. Anything that comes at you. And it's got a giant cross on it on the front there. Because it's not faith in your arm holding it up. It's not your faith in the material. It's your faith in Jesus that protects you from everything. It's no, I am saved in Christ. The truth is around me. The breastplate of righteousness is on me, and nothing can get past it. Jesus built that shield with extra oomph. Bang! The shield of faith, nothing is getting past this. No arrows, not vibranium, not iron, not even a bullet or a nuclear bomb can get past the shield of faith, and that is the biggest truth you will hear in this breach. That not a nuclear bomb, not bullets can pierce the armor of God or the shield of faith. It is impenetrable indefinitely. And then next, the helmet of salvation, which is something I recently had to learn to put on. The helmet of salvation is something that covers your mind. And it's interesting how it uses the word salvation, because it's that word is the most important word that should be on your mind. We have the gospel as our foundation. That's great. That's set. Christ has set all these things in place. That's cool. But the helmet of salvation is something you have to purposefully put on, because it's not like a Roman helmet. It's more like a jet fighter helmet that has goggles. And when you put the helmet of salvation on, the goggles, you see the world in a different way. Your perspective changes. It's like the Holy Spirit puts a glass in front of your eyes and you see things in a different way. You're saved. And everyone around me needs to be saved. It changes your perspective. But it also keeps your mind in assurance. When we put on the helmet of salvation, your mind is assured that I am saved. I have the belt of truth on. It's kind of like pointing out what the rest of the armor is, and you're there. I know Jesus, I am saved, and I know that in my mind. The helmet is something that we need to put on daily. We need to constantly take every thought captive with the helmet of salvation. And then next up we have, last but certainly not least, the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit, which is the most powerful weapon ever made. This right here. This is going to be my sword of the Spirit, okay? So I'm going to flip it this way for a bit. So the sword of the Spirit, You have the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Nothing can stop this, okay? It's put it last because it's got weight to it. Because you need to understand that the whole armor of God is established by this weapon here. It isn't just a sword. It isn't just an attack. It's a defense. It's a tool. It can build. It can heal. This is a tool. It's a sword because it's mainly meant to attack and pierce and save lives and protect. But also, it says that it's the word of God. And we know that the word of God is more than something we throw at people. It's something we use to build and construct and move forward. So like looking at our context, the word of God is our anchor. It's everything, you know? So I know I'm moving through these relatively quickly, but if you want real revelation, then it's right here. God has already spoken in this book with the sword of the Spirit. So use the sword. It's not just a hammer. It's a real flaming, massive sword that pierces everything that it sees, and it conquers the world. The sword of the Spirit is powerful, and it is equally balanced with the shield. You can't have the sword without the shield. They're both equally balanced. You need faith to block and the word of God to come in. They're equally weighed. So now, these all now have to work together. It's like, I've failed maths 3 times, but I know that 2 + 2 = 4, right? So like, you need the helmet of salvation, but you also need the breastplate of righteousness, because by salvation we are declared righteous. And you need the belt of truth to understand that all of this isn't just normal clothes you're wearing, that this is all genuinely what Christ has put on me. These things have to all be put on together. You can't have one day and another the next. They all need to work together, or it's unevenly weighed and you'll be walking around, especially if you don't have the boots of the gospel on, and you'll be tripping over everywhere. And the boots of the gospel of peace is my favorite again, because Christ says that his burden is light when we come. I mean, it's not going to be an easy road, but I feel like he's talking about the armor of God there, right? Like when we wear the boots of the gospel, it's like a counterweight that holds up the rest of the armor. Christ holds up the armor. It's not heavy armor, but it certainly is powerful. The gospel holds up all those elements, and they all, we can feel the weight, like, oh, I have to be righteous, and yeah, I know I'm a child of God, but like, what do I do with this weight? And the helmet of salvation is giving me a headache because I can't save people around me. I can't do enough to bring people to heaven. But the gospel says, I'm the one that does that. Don't worry about it. I made you righteous. I'll tell you the truth. I'll keep reminding you of it. I'll show you how to use the sword of the Spirit, and I'll help you hold up your shield. Like, come on, shoulders back. Hold it up. The gospel of peace holds up the rest of the armor. So then back to verses 10 to 13. In my notes, it says, big emphasis. So be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be stern. You are a child of God. You know the truth. We all know this. And if you don't know that, then that is, well, it's the truth. Genuinely. As Abby said, and as Jim said, if you need to talk to someone about your relationship with Christ, or you don't know Christ, or anything like that, then we can help you equip the armor of God. Address that. So be strong in the Lord. Things, however, can get stuck in the armor sometimes. Sometimes you can get arrows flung at you. It literally says arrows will be flung at you in this verse. So what do those arrows look like? Well, for me recently, being at Regents, it's quite an intense community of Christians, and it can get quite overwhelming sometimes. Jonathan knows. And I start to overthink about people and life and everything, and those arrows that got hit at me break off, and bits get caught in the armor. And things can get hidden as well, especially behind the helmet of salvation. Things can get caught in the back of your mind that we kind of get tucked under the armor. Like right now I'm wearing a cap, rather ironically, but I'm hiding my terrible haircut. So like, my helmet of salvation is saving me from a terrible haircut right now. But it's true, things can get hidden in the back of our minds. So we need to remember to sometimes take it off and assess it, right? And maybe it's on the wrong way around or something, and clean it with the tool that God has given us, the sword of the Spirit, to pick out bits from the armor, shine it up, you know, do all that stuff, and then Christ puts it back on you. It's important to remember to clean your armor and know that things can get lost under the surface. It's great to say, like, be strong in the Lord and you are declared righteous and the helmet of salvation of the gospel, but things, we think about stuff. We overthink about stuff all the time, and stuff can get hidden away. So we need to remember to pick out and clean the armor of God. So now, how does this look in real life for us? I mean, we're all very different. We're all in very different contexts. But this can be applied universally, as I said at the start. So each armor piece, for example, like the breastplate of righteousness, whenever someone who doesn't know Christ, or even someone who does know Christ, starts to speak over you, like just cursing you and speaking falsehood, you've got the belt of truth to say, no, I'm a child of God. You've got the breastplate of righteousness saying, no, I know Jesus declares me righteous on the day of judgment. I have nothing to worry about. I am assured that Christ has made me righteous. It's using the tool to build and strengthen your armor. So whenever you want to use this armor in real life, then you look at what the Word of God says about it. And in other words, you can find it with the man who made the armor, the carpenter, Jesus. He used the armor all over the Bible. And Matthew 4, for example, was one that I found. Obviously, Jesus was lost in the wilderness. And when the devil came at him, he would say, it is written. Boom, shield of faith, wearing the full armor of God. It is written. Man shall not live on bread alone. And he fights back. Jesus then, I believe, set out in the wilderness to show his followers, this is what it looks like when you have nothing but me. You've got to fight back with what the Bible says, with the most powerful weapon in history. And the devil can't even say anything back. Jesus doesn't repeat what the devil says. He only says the word of God. You don't have to say, well, am I this? No, because I think the Bible says this. No, he straight up says, it is written. He knows it for a fact. This is the case. Jesus also had the shield of faith because he went out into the wilderness knowing he'd be okay. He kind of walked out just like, okay, cool, you're coming as well? All right, we'll have a chat in a minute. Yeah, that's cool. And then carried on going into the wilderness. And the devil tried poking at him with a pathetic wooden titanium sword or whatever, or with a pistol or whatever. But the devil couldn't do anything against this, against the word of God. Hope Church is moving to an incredible place. And I've known from like the couple months of being here that you guys have really got something special. You know what I mean? I've really struggled with church in my past. And I've really been conflicted, but this church has genuinely taught me what church is supposed to look like. I can say that 100%. You guys have something. God is definitely in this building. And if we want to honor that, then we need to put on the full armor of God and be ready when the Holy Spirit calls. We have a massive, massive opportunity to serve the God Almighty, the real God of the cosmos. We get to serve his kingdom. He picked us out and said, I think you should be one of my warriors. And I think that's just incredible. And so then a cheeky little sneaky verse at the end, verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And then Paul asks that we pray for him. But I don't think he's alive now to let us do that. So we'll focus on the prayers and requests bit. Yeah, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So once we've received the armor of God, this is what you do about it. You pray. You be aware of what the Spirit is doing. So if it's a day where you're not feeling like you're wearing any armor, which I have a lot of the time, then you need to pray. You need to ask God and intentionally remind yourself daily for Christ to build the armor on you and to strengthen you. Be aware of what the Spirit is doing. Be ready to pull out your sword and fight for what we believe. Yeah? This is in a very literal sense. Pulling out your Bible and strengthening yourself and strengthening those around you as a family, as a church. But then also, because it mentions in the Spirit, that's our general in the war. The Holy Spirit is the general that we report back to. We get to have backup, guys. You know, it's not just you on the no man's land. We call in the general. And he says, I need you to go over there, and I need you to do that. I need you to stay here because you're going through a little bit of a rough spot, so you could just stay here with me. But everybody else, you need to go out, and you need to go out and fight. And then when we run out into no man's land with the armor, aka Worcester, or wherever you're from, then we might see a man in no man's land without any armor. And so what you do in that sense is you take your boots. Jesus gives you spare boots wherever you go. And you hand those boots to him and you say, hey, look, this is the gospel of peace. This is the boot that will keep you up. This will get you out of no man's land. You want them? And hopefully they'll say yes. And if they do say yes, it'll be like, cool, yeah, that guy over there gave them to me. He's awesome. Go speak to him. He'll make you some more. You know? And then he walks up with the gospel and then goes to Christ and finds him. That's our job, to give people and equip others with Christ's armor, to point to him and help him build armor on the people that he loves. So, as hard as it can be a lot of the time, thinking about the armor of God, thinking about this mission that God is already working in all of you. It's not like it starts now. Like, God has been doing something in all of your lives leading up to this point. This is just a reminder. You know what I mean? This is just a little boost along the way to say, keep going, remember the armor of God, keep moving, read Ephesians, get into the word of God, know how the sword works, know how to use the weapon, and let Christ just top you up, chip you on, and construct the armor on you. But this isn't as hard as it sounds, you know, to wear this armor, because I said the burden is light. Christ is your strength, and the armor is light to wear. Christ is your fuel. You're not fighting on no fuel, carrying the armor yourself. Christ is the one who carries the armor. Just don't leave the armor to one side. Don't hang it up in the wardrobe, you know, because one, it'll make it dirty, but two, because you'll be left absolutely exposed. Yeah. You know, the Bible says to be wary because the devil prowls like a lion, ready to attack, waiting for his opportunity in the bushes. So we need to pray in the spirit on all occasions with the full armor of God on, so that we may fight back against what the devil is trying to do in this world. God is doing something incredible all around us. And we need to be aware of that. We need to see that. You know, we need to wear the helmet of salvation and see the world through that lens of where is the Spirit in this Costa, or where is the Spirit in my home? What's God doing right now? You know, not what do I want to do? Not necessarily in this sense, but what is the Holy Spirit doing? How can I use the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit in this scenario? We get to take part in this mission. And what Hope Church is doing is carrying God's mission, you know, with future planting churches and trying to build community with the home groups and things, you know, and the prophecies coming out, trying to work in the Holy Spirit and move forward after COVID, trying to build church. You know, God is doing something incredible, and we need to be equipped and ready for what God is doing. And if you don't come to this church, then go back to wherever you're from and go to your church and strengthen them and sharpen their armor. Iron sharpens iron, the Bible says. So wherever you are with fellow believers, sharpen them. And if they're not believers, give them the boots and tell them, this will get you going. Yeah. And that guy made them. Yeah. So we need to be prepared. So I want us to go away now, and I would like, if you feel the Spirit wants you to dig further into this, to go back home and read Ephesians for yourselves. Get to know the weapon, know its weight, know how much it feels, you know. I'm sure you all read your Bibles. But go back to the armor of God and ask, what does this look like for me in my life? Because I can't dig into that, you know. So go back and meditate on it and think about it. How can I use this in church? How can I use this in work with my family and all that? Does that sound good?
Yeah?
So I'm going to pray.